Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. It is such a joy to be able to come to you today on just one-on-one Bible study. You know, normally on these broadcasts, we air sermons that we've preached at Fairview Baptist Church. But today, it's just going to be a conversation with me and our listening audience. We're going to have a little study. We're going to begin in Daniel chapter 2. Bible students have read Daniel 2 and the revelation of the 10 toes of that image that was revealed to Nebuchadnezzar, that of course Daniel was given the revelation from God as to what it meant. And we know that the 10 toes actually are representative of 10 kings that will attempt to establish a global government in those last days, the days before Jesus actually returns and establishes his kingdom on planet Earth. Now, folks, the rapture will happen 7 years before the second coming. The second coming is at Armageddon, when Jesus shows up at that battle, and the enemies of Jerusalem, which will have surrounded Jerusalem according to Zechariah 14 and Joel 3 and Revelation 19, and it looks like they're going to win and the Jews will be wiped out. That's when they'll cry out to the Messiah, and he will show up this time, not as the suffering servant, but this time as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, that is what's called the second coming. The rapture, of course, when the church is removed, is 7 years prior to that. It is during that seven-year period of time where that global government will come to full power. However, Daniel 2 talks about that era. Daniel 7 gives greater clarity and says that those 10 kings will put forward a front man. The scripture calls him a little horn, a little power, the lesser of the 10, not of the 10, but representing the 10. And that man is this super politician. And over time, he will actually get too big for his britches. And actually, he will become this supreme leader. The scripture indicates that 3 of those 10 kings will try to put him back in his place. However, they will be uprooted or done away with. Of course, I believe that will happen at the midpoint of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist goes into the temple, which will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and identify that he is the God to be worshipped. In those last 3.5 years, that time of Jacob's trouble, the outpouring of God's judgment on planet Earth as things wind down in preparation for the second coming, just like labor pains, they will become more frequent and more intense. But the scripture talks about how in the last days there will be this effort for global government. And understand how that mirrors what took place in Genesis. After Noah got out of the ark with his sons, God had told them to fill the earth, but they didn't do that. They went to the plains of Shinar, and of course, we read historically, we read in Scripture, of an emperor named Nimrod that established or attempted to establish global government with a man-made, godless global religion and establish a global tyranny. Of course, we know what God's response was to that. Now, God can obviously do anything God wants to do. He is the supernatural creator God. God could have rained down fire from heaven if he wishes to check evil, just as he did at Sodom and Gomorrah. But God, at that point, divided the people into 70 nations by dividing their languages. And if you read clearly in the scripture, it tells us that evil will go unchecked on planet Earth unless God steps in. If man is unified and godless, that is the danger of global government. Unity and godlessness without a nation that's able to check another nation from their bad behavior. For example, we know that the scripture tells us that God used Babylon to judge Israel when Israel misbehaved. We know that God used Media Persia to judge Babylon. We know that God used Greece to judge Media Persia. We look back in the last century. I am absolutely convinced that God used the United States of America to check 2 evil empires, that of being Imperial Japan and also Nazi Germany. That's how God uses nations to judge the growth of evil on planet Earth in this dispensation in which we currently live. Well, just as God divided that effort at global government in Genesis, We know from Daniel's revelation and also in the book of Revelation that in the last days there will be an effort for global government. Now, the term in Daniel 2 is actually the Hebrew word for king and not kingdom. Now, I personally am of the opinion, although great teachers of Bible study and in end times and the study of eschatology have concluded that that's the revived Roman Empire, it may be. However, I focus on the fact that it uses the word king and not kingdom. And I personally believe that those are 10, obviously, entities. The Bible, we know that there are 10 entities that come together for this effort of global tyranny. But I personally think that because of the use of that word, that Hebrew word for king rather than kingdom, I think it may very well be 10 men. 10 super wealthy men that wish to control the world. Men along the lines of the evil George Soros. And you look at some of these other global multi-billionaires, men that have vast wealth, $100, $150, $200 billion. It's amazing that rather than be grateful for their blessings, they seek power. We're seeing that in our day. I would encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to go online and check out what's called the Great Reset. Long before this pandemic that we have found ourselves in for the past 6 months, we saw the George Soroses of the world meeting in Davos, Switzerland, preparing for a Great Reset, an effort to bring the entire globe under one unified government. Quite frankly, America has been eroding over the past 50 to 100 years, really since World War II and the establishment of the United Nations. America's sovereignty was being worn down. America was integrating into globalism. And of course, you look back in Genesis and God is the one that divided the nations. God does not want a single global government. God has created nations on purpose. And America is a unique, exceptional country that I believe God has used to accomplish many great things. Not everything is great, obviously, but many great things in this dispensation. But we see that over the last 50, 60 years, America has been integrating more into globalism. It was greatly accelerated under the Obama administration. Do you remember President Obama's world apology tour, traveling the world apologizing for how evil America was? Well, America's sovereignty was being worn down. Quite frankly, I am convinced that the globalists were functioning according to their wicked plans, and they had anticipated a very easy transition of power from Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton. But all of a sudden, something that no one saw coming, including myself, as I was a Ted Cruz supporter in 2016, Mr. Make America Great Again, this billionaire celebrity in America. And folks, I didn't even like Donald Trump's television show. I never watched it once. I was never a big Trump fan. But boy, have I become a fan. Mr. Make America Great Again was elected to office. And he has worked to try to make America great again. I've never seen a president that's more pro-life than this man. I've never seen a president come out and defend religious liberty the way this man does. An imperfect man, to be sure. But I believe that God is working on him and using him. And quite frankly, we have never been at a more distinct fork in the road than what we face tomorrow. The Democratic Party is not anything that it maybe at one time was, and I don't know that it ever was. I know that my parents were Democrats up into the mid-60s, being from Arkansas and Oklahoma. I think everybody was a Democrat at that point in time. However, when you look at the platform today, there is a clear distinction between the Republican Party platform and the Democrat Party platform. There is a clear distinction between the plans for a Biden-Harris administration and the plans for a Trump-Pence administration. Whether we continue as a free constitutional republic with religious liberty or whether we choose socialism, we choose a president that will pass the Equality Act and quite frankly criminalize Christianity through the LGBT movement being reclassified as a civil right as opposed to what the Bible calls it as a sinful behavior. We have that choice tomorrow. Now folks, I believe that it's getting late in the day. I believe that the Lord is coming soon. When I see what's going on around the world and the World Economic Forum and the George Soros's and the work for the Great Reset, I certainly see how this aligns with Scripture. I don't know if the rapture is going to come today or tomorrow or in 5 years or 10 years. However, I do believe we're close, and I do believe we're setting the stage toward that event, that last 7 years before the second coming. And as much as I look forward to the soon coming of the Lord, I've also been commanded to occupy until he comes again. And I plan to fight evil and to defend liberty, religious liberty, to defend life, to defend civil liberty, to defend the institution of the home, to fight against the devil as aggressively as I can and point people to Jesus Christ until the Lord comes or the Lord calls me home. And this election is critical. And we will, in fact, reap what we sow. If we choose poorly, we will suffer the consequences. Now, I want to take the next few minutes and just issue a challenge based upon Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Of course, we know that each of the epistles in the New Testament were given an answer to specific questions dealing with certain issues or cultural issues with that particular church. But of course, the letters are for us, for our edification and learning. But we know that the letter to Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, defines this mystery body of the ecclesia, the church, both Jew and Gentile, whosoever that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it is given to the church, and the instruction specifically is to us and to our behavior. And as you get into chapter 5, and in particular verse 11, Paul makes this point. He says, "Church, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." In other words, don't share in, don't participate with, don't be part of, don't be a party to the unfruitful deeds or actions of wickedness. But Paul doesn't just stop there. He says, I don't want you to even just remain neutral. I want you to reprove those evil acts. In other words, rebuke them. Take a stand against them. So as Christians, we have clarity as to what our commands are to be as far as engaging the culture. Not only are we not to be a part of wickedness, but we're to take an active stand against it. And also understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Where did we get this idea that certain things are off limits in church? Now, as a Christian, I think every pastor and everyone that professes to be a follower of Christ would say that Jesus is the Lord of all of our lives. Well, if that's in fact the case, then nothing should be off limits in church. In fact, the only things that we shouldn't talk about in church are things that Jesus is not the Lord over. However, Paul also tells us that we are to glorify God in everything that we do. He says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if we're doing it, we should be looking to God's instruction for what we're to do and how we're to do. And also, let me make this point, ladies and gentlemen. Every pastor that I have ever met, as we do our Liberty Pastors training camps throughout the country, we ask the question, what are the three institutions on planet Earth that God established? And every pastor will answer correctly. He'll say, the home, the church, and civil government. And logically, if you're to ask that pastor, where do you go for instruction on the home, what God's design and intent is? Well, that pastor is going to say, well, you'd go to the pages of Scripture. Since God established the home, we should go to the Bible for what God's will is for how our home should function. And that's a correct answer. If you also ask those pastors where you would go for instruction for how your local church should be established, how it should function, the doctrine of that church, well, likewise, he would answer, you'd go to the pages of Scripture, because God established the ecclesia. God established the local called-out assembly, the local church. And that also would be a correct answer. But then you ask those same men of the cloth, men that stand in the pulpits every Sunday and Wednesday, and you say, where should a Christian go for instruction on the proper role and limitations of civil government? And He has no answer. Apparently, we're supposed to go to Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. Folks, that is illogical. Just like God established the home and has given us directions for it, just as God has established the church and has given us instruction for it, God also was the one that created civil government. And although not every family functions how God designed, just like that, not every civil government functions as God designed. However, God has given us clear instruction for the purpose of civil government and for the limitations on civil government. And quite frankly, as you look in Romans 13 and other passages, the purpose of civil government is not tyranny. The scripture consistently says that the purpose of the civil government is to punish evildoers and to protect those that do well, that we may all live peaceably in all godliness. The purpose of civil government is not to oppress mankind, not to act as a tyrant, but it's supposed to protect us from evildoers. Well, back to Ephesians chapter 5, as we're looking to make this decision tomorrow. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship, don't be a part of, don't be a party to, don't participate with unfruitful works, acts, deeds of sin, of darkness, of wickedness, but rather rebuke them and take a stand against them. Ladies and gentlemen, the current Democratic Party platform strongly and unequivocally supports Roe versus Wade and this so-called woman's right to choose in deciding whether to kill her baby or to keep her baby. The Democratic Party wishes to keep abortion legal all through 9 months of pregnancy. There's even some discussion now as to after the child is born, giving a woman a window of opportunity to decide whether she wants to keep that baby or kill it. Folks, that is nothing more than modern-day Moloch worship, just as they did in the Old Testament, as they burned their children alive in the fires to the false god Moloch and Baal and Ashtaroth. We do the same thing as we worship sexual immorality without consequences. Well, as a Christian, what does Ephesians 5 say? Have no partnership, be party to, don't be a part of the unfruitful works of darkness. So as a Christian, you cannot follow Christ and be a party to the party that celebrates and promotes and endorses abortion on demand without any limitations. Folks, that's impossible. We can't go there. Secondly, understand that the Democratic Party platform, and I'm reading a headline from a July 27th, 2016 article online. It says this: the Democratic Party platform is the most pro-LGBT in history. Now, folks, we know that God established the home. We know that God created us as sexual beings. And he created the sexual intimacy to be held sacred within the bonds of marriage between one man and his wife. Anything outside of that, the Bible calls sin. And the Bible is very consistent on the sinful behavior of homosexuality and the LGBT movement. So again, as we look in light of Scripture, when Paul commends us as a church to have no fellowship, don't be a part of, don't be party to the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, we are to reprove them and rebuke them. How can we, in good conscience, as Christ followers, say, I am going to support that platform? We cannot do it. It's inconsistent with what we claim to believe. Next, understand that there is a threat to Christianity in America that's literally on the doorstep. It's called the Equality Act. And just like so many bills, just like the Affordable Care Act was anything but affordable, so too the Equality Act is not nice and kind as the title sounds. As a matter of fact, it's a Trojan horse that will end Christianity in America as we know it. Let me tell you what the Equality Act does. The Equality Act will treat the LGBTQ plus movement. And please understand, when they put that plus there, that means we'll fill that in later. Now, none of us would sign a contract with a blank paragraph. None of us would trust someone, say, here, I'll sign my name to it. You can fill it in later as to what I've agreed to do. Well, that's what the plus means. LGBTQ plus whatever we decide to add to it later, including pedophilia and all sorts of perverse marital relationships and sexual relationships that the Bible calls sin. Polygamy, polyamory, bestiality, you name it, it will be included in that. But it'll no longer be classified as a behavior. It will be protected as a civil right, just as race and gender are properly today. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means if this is passed into law, then as a Christian pastor, if a gay couple came to me, and I use that term incorrectly, they're anything but gay, if a homosexual couple came to me and said, "Pastor, we insist that you perform our marriage," and I would obviously decline because I would say, according to the Word of God, marriage is between one man and one woman. I cannot go there. Well, they would be able to have me arrested for violating their civil rights. But on top of that, they would immediately be able to sue Fairview Baptist Church for violating their civil rights. And they would sue our church into non-existence. Please understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if the Equality Act passes, then Christianity as we know it today will change overnight in the United States of America. We will have to go underground. We will have to be in house churches and the like. Being able to have a public facility called the church, the local church, and not follow their redefinition of homosexual behavior as a civil right, well, then we would be violating what at that time would become the law in America, and it would be illegal to embrace our deeply held biblical values when it comes to sexuality and the family. Now, let me also say this. Every Democrat member of the House of Representatives has signed on as a co-author of the Equality Act. And by the way, it has passed the House of Representatives. The only thing that has stopped it from being law today is the Republican-controlled Senate and a Republican president. But understand, if we elect Joe Biden as president and they gain control of the Senate, this will be passed within the first 100 days and Christianity will be changed forever in America. Now again, let me ask you, what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, it says, have no fellowship, Christian. Don't be a part of, don't be a party to, don't participate with the unfruitful, ungodly acts or deeds of darkness. Instead, we are supposed to rebuke them and to take a stand against them. Let me just make one final point as we are running out of time, and I'll bring to my concluding remarks. So too, former Vice President Biden, has guaranteed that he will roll back the tax cuts and increase taxes on everyone. Please understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as public funds. The government doesn't have any money. The only money they have are our tax dollars or what they borrow and we're online to repay. It's not supposed to be the government to tell us how much of our paycheck we get to keep. It's supposed to be up to us to determine how much government we want, and then it's our responsibility to pay for it. So when they talk about rolling back tax reform, that is theft. They don't have that right to do that. Also recognize that there is no place in Scripture where it validates the redistribution of wealth from those that work hard and save to those that refuse to work. Now there is a role of charity, and that belongs to the church and to the individual, not to the government. But understand, it's not charity to take someone else's money. It's only an act of charity when you decide to spend your own money to help someone in need. So again, that is not a proper role of government. So understand, we have one party that advocates for abortion on demand at every stage. We have one party that advocates for the redefinition of marriage. And we have one party that advocates the Equality Act, which will criminalize Christians that stand on the biblical definition of marriage and on biblical sexuality. And we have one party that wishes to take your hard-earned dollars, and they believe that they are better at spending your money than you are. Folks, the Bible's very clear. We're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We are, in fact, to oppose them. Ladies and gentlemen, we have never had an election with more clear distinctions between the candidates that are running than what we face now. Now, let me conclude this with the role Christians can play. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us at a time of the passing of one of Saul's sons, where there was a decision that the 12 tribes had to make as to whether they were going to follow David, who at that time was the king of Judah, or whether they were going to make another one of Saul's sons the kings of the other or the northern 10 tribes. Well, the scripture says in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, that the children of Issachar were men of understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. By the way, this was a political decision, whether they were going to choose to follow King David or choose to follow another of Saul's sons. Well, there were only 200, the scripture says, 200 of the children of Issachar, but they had such influence and such understanding of the times that they were able to properly influence and lead Israel to make the right decision in that election. Folks, we have the decision of America's future and the future of our children and grandchildren. If the Lord tarries, again, I look for the rapture at any point in time, but we don't know. The Lord might not come for another 10 years or 20 years. I want my children and my grandchildren to be able to live free. I want America to not be ashamed of its Christian heritage and to recognize right and wrong and not be insane as we are seemingly becoming today. And to me, that choice is very clear. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be supporting President Trump tomorrow as I go to vote. I will also be voting for Mrs. Bice to vote Nancy Pelosi out of office when it comes to voting in the 5th District. I also will be voting for Tommy Johnson, a very fine young Christian man that I had a privilege of meeting with a couple of weeks ago here in my office as a candidate for Oklahoma County Sheriff. Folks, we are so fortunate to be a people that get to choose the direction that their country will go in. Pray about your decision tomorrow. And don't go vote your values. Vote God's values. But by all means, Christians, go vote. If we show up, then the other side loses. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. I look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.